He shall reign. He is on the throne, and He will remain there. And we praise Him. We're thankful to be here this morning to praise Him together, to fellowship with one another as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask as we open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, or it's in your bulletin, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We'll read together. Of course, we'll respond as we normally do. I'm going to ask Brother Jack Abbott. Brother Jack, if you wouldn't mind making your way up to the pulpit and open us in prayer after we read our scripture, I'd appreciate it if you'd come on ahead and be ready as soon as we're done praying. Of course, I received the news this morning. It may have gone through to some others earlier, but Miss Martha Quell, I think it was yesterday, passed away. And just, man, Brother Fred's in Saudi Arabia. They need your prayer. They need your prayer right now. What a difficult, difficult time they're dealing with. Of course, we just, we're grateful for where Miss Martha is now. But we sure do miss her. She has such a sweet disposition. She's so quiet, but always just kind and had such a great spirit. We're going to miss that tremendously. But of course, we know the family needs our prayers, and we're going to be there for them. We're going to pray for them. But there's other things. But this morning, we turn our attention to Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read the things that are in the normal print, if you'll respond together. The things that are in the bold print in the even-numbered verses, we'll read these together. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. If, then. Look at the conditions. You'll understand. You'll understand what so often is misunderstood. Brother Jack Abbott, one of our Sunday school teachers, faithful worker for the Lord, New Tribes Missions for decades, for years, and of course you know him. I'm glad to have him. Always his friendship and his fellowship in the Word of God and search the Scriptures and all those things. I'm going to ask him if he'll open us in prayer this morning, Brother Jack.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning for the privilege that we have of meeting together in your name. We thank you, Lord, that this time has been set aside, and we just praise you, Lord, that you've given us the health and strength to meet this morning. We pray, God, for the Quayle family. We just ask you to encourage them at this time. We realize that Fred is out of the country, and we pray that you'd help him. You know the circumstances, Lord, and we just ask you to help him. We pray for the children as well. we just pray for comfort for them, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we look forward to this time together, that your name would be honored, that you will continue to work in our hearts, Lord. We thank you that you do teach us, and you want us, Lord, to be doing your will. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray that you'll use this time both in our lives, Lord, to encourage us, and Lord, that your name may be honored. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have it? Yes, no? Okay, well, good. I've been given a thumbs up. We want to welcome you to our church and thank you so much for coming. Now, Pastor Reynolds is in Knoxville, Tennessee. He is preaching this morning in the 10 o'clock session at the Friends Baptist Conference at Crown College. And I'm going to ask if we could, we're just going to lower the lights and get to hear our pastor for a few minutes. The hardest part about hearing our pastor preach is that I have to cut him off at some point. So that's just a bad deal, any way you slice it. But anyway, here's Pastor Reynolds.
My day. Now, they came through the Red Sea, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea. They come to Kadesh Barnea. They simply have to turn left and go due north. And they are in the promised land. But sure enough, they send out a committee to look. They come back with a majority report that says, we cannot do this. We cannot do what God has told us to do. Now, are you living there? Are you saying, I cannot do what God has told me to do? You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel qualified for that. Let me help you. You're exactly right. You are not qualified. You say, well, I just don't know that I have the strength for that. You're exactly right. You don't have the strength for that. Now, let me ask you this. If you only do in your service for Christ, and you only do in your Christian life that for which you are qualified, that for which you have the strength, that for which you feel capable, that which matches your personality, and that which fits your gifts, if you do only that, but you do those things that you're qualified for, that you can do, that you have the personality for, that you have the strength for, that you have the ability for, that you have the gifts for. Do you get that it's you, 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 you? Then who gets the glory for having done that? You do. But if you do that for which you do not have the gift, for which you do not have the strength, for which everybody knows you're not capable of, if you do that, who gets the glory for it? The one who's supposed to get the glory for it gets the glory for it. And why should we get the glory for what God does? Now I'm going to ask you to turn back in your Bible to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. And we're going to walk quickly through the first 27 verses of this chapter. We've looked at them on the brink of the promised land as they came from the south.
We'll let them walk through. Let them walk through, and we'll pray them through. Amen? Amen. Well, I'll tell you, that's good. God needs to receive the glory for what he does, and sometimes he pushes us outside of our comfort zone to do things so he'll receive the glory. Amen. Well, that's good preaching. Amen. 510, let's stand together and sing. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. 510. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. we're singing about, right? This is about when Jesus saved your soul. Okay? So think back when it was, where you were at, what was going on, when God got a hold of your heart, convicted you, that you were a sinner on the way to a devil's hell, but Jesus wanted you in heaven with him, and he saved your soul. So think about that when you're singing. It just might even put a smile on your face. Here we go, on the last verse now.
Now I know what that will surely endure.
You may be seated. Oh, when God dips his love in our heart, what a wonderful thing. Grace, grace, grace greater than our sin. You know, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, the Bible says. Instruments, voices, and all that kind of thing. And some of you might be unfamiliar with these instruments. They're called melodicas. Melodicas. We're going to have a duet on this song, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. God bless y'all.
All right. A lot of things coming up, a lot of announcements, big things. Summer's around the corner, and summer just gets busy. I know some people think, oh, summer, relax. Well, I don't know about there's any time for relaxing in the summer. We got a busy one coming. But there are some things on the horizon I want you to be looking forward to. A week from Friday night, Ms. Becky Reynolds, we'll be doing a piano concert. Do we have a name for this? Have we made this is it just Becky Reynolds in concert? We haven't added anything to this. Nothing more needs to be said, is what I'm saying. Pastor likes to put names on things, you know, so I didn't know if maybe I had missed out on a name. But that is a week from Friday. Of course, Friday is tax day, so a week from Friday you can celebrate having done your taxes in time like you do every year. Or filing your extension in time, either one. But that is a week from Friday. You're going to want to be there for that. Go ahead and make your plans. That's going to be wonderful. Central Florida Pregnancy Center, by the way, these are in your bulletin, so you can look in your bulletin and see the announcements that are coming up. Central Florida Pregnancy Center, Walk for Life on April the 30th. You can see Cheryl Baird or Jenny Reynolds for details. My wife is out of town this morning. She'd have to call her, but Miss Cheryl, I believe I saw she's right down here this morning. Or I guess Miss Sandy Karpinko would be able to help you with that as well, and you could see her. Now, last week I mentioned again Teen Camp Extreme. And if your young people are planning on going to camp, it's not Crossroads this year. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that. So we're going to be going to Pensacola Christian Colleges camp that they do. And, you know, some people would go, well, you want to go to a college. It's not the same as camp. And it's not the same as camp. It's not as rough and rustic. Of course, it's very comfortable where we go. This is a little bit different experience, but it's a very exciting experience. And it's going to be a ton of fun to be had. The preaching is going to be tremendous. Brother Shane Lewis is going to be there for the week. And that's always something worth being there for. If you were here for Founders Conference, you got another good taste of what Brother Shane, what the Lord's used or what done in Brother Shane's life to use him. And I know he'll do a great job. I'm confident of that, looking forward to it. It was one of the reasons we chose to go to Pensacola's Teen Extreme Camp. So I'm looking forward to it, but I mentioned Friday. Friday's a deadline for a lot of us, but there's another deadline Friday, and that is for this teen camp in Pensacola. If you want to get the $25 discount for camp, you need to be registered and have your registration fee paid. The $25 registration fee, so basically paying it now means you don't have to double that later. You get that, you know, that's the discount that you'll get. So instead of paying $180, it'll be $155. Now, if you have difficulty, say we're not going to be able to afford that, make sure you communicate to me the need that you'll have this summer. But go ahead and take care of the registration now, especially if you're going to ask, you know, and say, listen, if we can find somebody to get some assistance, maybe we've got a few kids going and it's going to be difficult for us. We have some folks that would love to help you and some things that we can do. But go ahead and get the registration taken care of, because that'll help the folks that may be wanting to help you out. That'll help them while they're trying to help you out. Get that registration done. Pay that registration fee, $25. Get that taken care of. I sent out an email about it with the link. If you didn't receive that email, let me know, and I will get that to you. But it's an online registration that you'll want to take care of. Now, I want to ask a question. I know Sarah Cole, I was told yesterday, Sarah Cole had gone into the hospital, and I didn't get any updates on Sarah. Does anybody? She is back home. Okay, so Miss Sarah's still having problems, so continue to pray for her. And, of course, the arrangements for Miss Martha Quill will be coming, I'm sure, and you'll be notified of those. And I'm sure there's a lot of things to be considered with Brother Fred being gone and the things that they'd like to get accomplished and whether they can or not. So we'll be patient with that. Now, we have guests here this morning, and we're thrilled to have you. We've already done some different things, having Pastor preach all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee. But we've got something we'd like for you to do for us. In your bulletin, if you don't have one of these bulletins, even if you need it for announcements, we'd like to get one in your hands. Our ushers have these. But especially our guests, those that are with us for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, if you need one of these, please raise your hand and let these guys bring you one. Just hold it up long enough for them to get to you. Inside that bulletin on the far right, as you open it up on the far right, there's a flap. If you'll just tear that off, guests, you'll see on one side it says Welcome Visitors. Okay, we'd like for you to just fill that out. Just give us a record of your time here and do one of two things with it. If you drop it in the offering plate as it comes by in just a few minutes, that's what we'd like to have from you. If you would contribute that to us, we would be very appreciative of that. But what we'd rather you do, if you can stick around for a few minutes after the service, we have a guest reception area that's just outside these back doors and to the right. So go out those double doors in the back and immediately to the right. We have a guest reception area. We've got some things we'd like to give to you, some gifts. I'd like to meet you, get to know you. If there's any questions that you have, feel free to ask. But we'd like to know who invited you, where you're coming from, how you heard about us, all kinds of things. And that's the time that we get to do that. So just bring that with you then and give it to us in the guest reception area immediately following the service. We would love to spend some time getting to know you a little bit better. And we can get you by till lunch. We've got some light refreshments in there. And that would be great. We would very much appreciate you doing that. We're already glad that you're here this morning. And I'd like for you to get your books. Go ahead and stand up again. I believe we're at page number, is it 605? Is that what I saw? 685. 685, go ahead and get your books. Stand up and let's sing again. 685, let's stand please and sing Footsteps of Jesus.
Steps of Jesus. That's who we're to follow. A lot of people we might try to emulate, but we need to be like Jesus Christ. Great, great psalm. Ushers, come on down, please, if you will, and we'll receive the offering this morning. And good to see visitors here. Met the White family over here, pastoring and ministering right there near D.C. in Virginia. Started a church. Brother Barry White started that church 13 years ago. And he's still there ministering and winning souls and discipling those believers. And the church is growing, doing a great work. This is, now, Brother Mrs. Fink, now this is your son or grandson? Granddaughter. Yes, daughter. Daughter. Okay, all right. I'm kind of slow. I'm sorry. God bless y'all. Good to have them here. Good to have some folks from West Virginia. Our church in Ripley, the West Falls, Bud and Ollie, and good to have them here, and his brother Larry and his wife Catherine, New Smyrna, and over here is good to have them here. Every visitor, I didn't get to meet everybody, but I do encourage you to come and meet us back there at the visitor's reception, as Brother Aaron mentioned, and I do trust that you will come, and we have a gift for you. It'd be something that hopefully be a blessing. There's a $10 gift card to a lot of different areas, a lot of different things. Some eating places, gas, you know. Some of you came, didn't have any gas to go home. Well, come to visitor reception. Amen. We'll send you on your way. So it pays to visit Volusia County Baptist Church. In a lot of ways, it pays. And I do trust that God will speak to your heart. I hope that the music prepares our hearts for the Word of God. And let's bow in prayer and ask God's blessing upon this offering. And dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for us on the cross. Thank you for setting the perfect example for us. And I ask you now that you would bless this offering, both the gifts and the givers. Lord, bless every visitor and every member. Lord, may they sense your presence here with us. Dear Holy Spirit, I ask you now that you would help us to magnify and make much of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would crown this morning by speaking to hearts, knocking on the heart's door of those that are lost. And if someone is unsaved, that they'll receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for what you've done in our midst. Watch over our pastor and empower him as he's bringing his message to a close there in Knoxville. And Lord, I pray that you would do all these things and so much more. Lord, I do pray for the Quayle family. I ask you, God, that you would wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, work things out for Fred, I pray, and speed his return back from Saudi Arabia. And for Janice and all the family, carry them through these days and this difficult road. In Jesus' name, amen.
As glorious as that moment will be for those that know him, it will be equally awful for those that have refused him. Man, I don't know why I couldn't help but think of that as they sung that song, as those that don't know the joy of anticipating when you see Jesus. What a blessed thought, though, for those who are part of that blood-washed throng. I love that phrase in there. Can we sing He is Lord? Would that be all right? Can we sing that? That's the song I was thinking about. Sing it with me now.
He is Lord.
Until you see him to confess that he is Lord.
Right.
You can confess it right here and now.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. And we thank him and praise him this morning. We're so glad you're with us. If you see someone nearby that you don't know, make sure, make it a point to go and meet them. And maybe they don't know you, and maybe y'all both been going to church here for 5 years. You never know. You ought to get to know one another. We want to welcome our guests. If you see guests close by, the choir will be coming down. Shake hands, fellowship with one another. If you can find your seat, you may be seated. There are folks, and I'm sure there's folks even in here, who think that that right there is a waste of time and we shouldn't do it and people are going to feel uncomfortable. And there may well be, and we certainly don't want that to be the case. But if we tried to stop that in this church, there'd be a revolt. You know, it might be uncomfortable to meet new folks at church, but it isn't at home with family. And that's where we are. We're at home with family. And if you're a guest, you're part of our family this morning. We're thrilled that you're here with us. There is a prayer request handed to me. Brother Chris Procius having surgery this Friday. Ray is having surgery. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I just took the name on the top. I took the name. And Ray is having surgery this Friday. Stomach cancer. So serious need there. Please remember that in prayer. Lots of folks that have burdens, and we can help to bear those burdens with one another, and I know that you will. We are blessed in this church to have just an abundance of folks that God's gifted musically. And if you listen to the choir sing, and you hear those big high notes that come in that really put the exclamation point on a lot of the songs that they sing, you can pick out Miss Hope in there. And it's good. I love it. I love it when I can hear her go ahead and get up there and grab that high note. We are blessed to have the ministry that both Brother Mark and Miss Hope in so many ways, but especially even in our music. And I'm thrilled to be able to hear this morning as Miss Hope sings for us.
Thank you so very much, honey. God bless you. Thank you for that message. We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That was in a nursery one time I saw up on the wall. Look in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 17. While you're finding that, I have a confession to make. Confession is good for the soul. You're in church, good place to confess things, right? Well, I have to confess that I really don't like garage sales. I don't like going to them. I really don't like hosting them. I'm thankful that Hope is able to host them. She seems to enjoy the game. There's an art to it, you know. There really is. And the bartering thing back and forth, she did well in Israel, by the way, and haggling over prices and all that kind of thing. The last garage sale we had was a Saturday. It was on a Saturday. And she wasn't feeling very well, and I needed to be there to stand in for her if she needed to take a break. And so I would come out from time to time, you know, when she would say, just come out for a few minutes. And so I did. And every time I would come out, I would look at the tables that we had set out there. And I remember when I pulled them out at 7 o'clock in the morning, there were people standing outside waiting for the garage door to open up. You know, I don't know how long they'd been there, but they saw a sign and with our address, and I guess the crack of dawn, they were making the rounds. Early bird gets the worm, you know. Every time I would go out there, I would see more was gone. More was taken. And I just didn't like the haggling. I didn't like the feeling, you know, because you had some people, I know for certain that they do this. They leave their 2016 vehicle in the garage, and they put on their oldest clothes they possibly could find, and they borrow their son's pickup truck, and they pull up, and they limp in. And you feel sorry for them, and you're wanting $3 for something that costs you $89. And they say, would you take a buck? I feel badly, you know. And every once in a while, as they're hauling it to their truck, every once in a while, I see them cut a look at each other. Good job, yeah. So I don't really get into that. But you know, by about 11 o'clock in the morning, it's amazing how much stuff has been taken. It really is. It's also a telltale when you see what's left, what nobody wanted. The message this morning, these three words, taken or left. Taken or left. Look, please, with me at verse number 30. This one verse we'll read. We'll look at the context in just a moment. Verse 36. The Bible says, two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus. But only the redeemed will hear his voice on that day. Will you be taken or will you be left? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you would speak to our hearts through your precious word. You are the preacher. This is your word. We ask you now that you would speak to us in a way that we sense the breath of heaven. Forgive me, I pray, of where I fail you. Cleanse me anew and afresh and fill me with your spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for the promise and thank you for the power that you gave us when you rose from the dead. And I ask you now that this resurrection power would be what points people to Jesus Christ. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Jesus spoke a lot about how the world would come to an end. And today people are of an understanding that the world is on a dead-end course. They don't know particularly how. They're writing books about it. They're making movies about it. And they call it apocalyptic movies, apocalyptic theology and all that kind of thing. The world is going to come to an end as we know it. But there are some things that are going to take place before then. And may I tell you, let me just fast forward to the end of the book to tell you that when the end of the world takes place, God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And everything is going to be fine for those that are with him. So don't worry, don't fret, and don't let your palms get sweaty. Don't get afraid. Be not afraid. But Jesus spoke a lot about prophecy, and he wanted us to understand it. And in fact, he made prophecy simple. And to try to help us understand things that had heavenly meanings, he often used metaphors. He often used illustrations and parables and the kingdom of heaven is like unto, you know, and tried to help us grasp what he's trying to get across and by using things that we can understand. And so in this passage, as we get ready to launch into this text here of verse 36, we must get the context. Would you look, please, at verse number 20? The Bible says in verse 20, "And when he," Jesus, "was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, this first thought here, the day of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God was demanded. The kingdom of God was demanded. People would love to know when all of this is going to come to pass. Now, we see signs of the prophecies that have been given to us in the Word of God. We see the precursors. Those of you who are mamas, those of you who have had children, you understand that there are signs of the baby's coming. Okay, there are things that tell you, okay, a baby is on the way. And sometimes those pains start, and you might think that the coming is imminent. And you find out that there was a false labor, you know, but it's preparing you. The things that we are seeing, the things that people might say are signs, are preparing us for the signs that Jesus is coming back in the second coming. Let me tell you this much, that the rapture of Jesus Christ we've been singing about, there are no signs pointing to that. The signs that are given to us in the Bible are pointing to Jesus' second coming to the earth, where he sets up his kingdom. Someone said it this way: if you notice, when you go to the mall or you go to the grocery store and you see Christmas decorations up, okay, you know that Thanksgiving is nearby. Okay? The same kind of mindset. When you see the signs of the second coming, you know the rapture is nearby, because that's going to come first. The kingdom of God was demanded. Now, this word observation, it's interesting that this word observation used here in verse 21 is the only time it's used in the entire Bible. The only time. And so if you want to search and to try to find the definitive time or day or whatever, you just go ahead and waste your time, because it is not findable. Jesus said is not come by searching, does not come by looking and by focusing your attention and efforts on it. It doesn't come by observation. And furthermore, the kingdom of God, he says, is within you. It's within you. Now, Matthew 6:33 sheds some light on this. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It doesn't say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." You see, if you take the king and you take a dominion, you have a kingdom. And may I invite you, as we sang the song a few moments ago that Brother Aaron led, "He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. The kingdom that God wants us to enjoy right now, we can have that kingdom in our hearts as we serve and obey him. Now listen, the kingdom of God is not just about pie in the sky by and by. It's also about steak on your plate while you wait. There's some stuff that we should be doing serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not just, okay, I'm saved, I've got my ticket punched, I'm ready for heaven. No, no, no. God left you here on the planet for a reason after you got saved. And that's to glorify Jesus Christ, to point others to him, to try to make disciples. The kingdom of God was demanded. I want to know. There's some things that God just says, you're just going to have to wait. You know, the timing of the second coming, there is no higher classified information. There is no greater top secret in all the universe than when Jesus Christ is coming back. Satan does not know. Now, Satan knows a lot about Scripture. In fact, he probably knows more about the Bible than most preachers know. So he knows that there's going to be an Antichrist. Here's an interesting thought, and we'll press on after this, but an interesting thought. A lot of people thought in Bible days that Nero was the Antichrist, that Nero was the one who was going to be such a terrible world ruler, and that he was definitely, and all that he was doing, in fact, the church at Thessalonica believed that they missed the rapture because everything that he was doing, it seemed to fit in line with all this. And so 2 Thessalonians was written. The Apostle Paul assured them, said, no. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. Don't worry. May I suggest something? That perhaps, as you look down through history, it's more than possible that Satan, in every generation, had his finger on somebody who could be the Antichrist. I mean, what do you think about Hitler? I mean, a lot of people thought that he would be the Antichrist. We've had some people name some folks in our current day. So-and-so is the Antichrist. And given examples and all that kind of thing. I'm not going to name names. You can fill it in. May I tell you today that because Satan does not know when Jesus is coming back for his church, he's ready. He's ready to do his part. Let me ask you something. Are we as ready for the Lord Jesus' coming and the rapture? Are we looking for his coming? The kingdom of God was demanded. I want to know when, the Pharisee said. He said, nope, you're not going to know. You're not going to know. The day of Jesus Christ, in verses 22 to 24, we see the day of Jesus Christ was described. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. The day of Jesus Christ was described. He said, now look, there are people, they're going to rise up and say, I'm the Messiah. No. He said, you're not going to have to wonder when the Messiah comes. He said, just take, for instance, lightning. When lightning strikes, it illuminates the whole sky. It happens miles away. You know that when that lightning strikes and heats up the air all around it to 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit, that shock wave of heat produces the sound that we know of as thunder, okay? And if you watch the lightning strike, and then you count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4-1,000, when you hear that thunder, you can say, okay, that was about 4.5-5 miles away. But you saw that lightning like it was right there. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, every eye shall see him. And there won't need to be satellites to make that happen. Now, in the tribulation period, the Bible says that the two prophets of God will be slain in the streets, and their bodies will be outside the walls there of Jerusalem, and the eyes of the whole world will see their bodies. Now, were it not for the technology that we have today, I think that would be a difficult thing. But today it's an easy thing. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not need man's technology. The day of Jesus Christ was described. This lightning he refers to, he says, like lightning. Lightning strikes in 1/10,000th of a second. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that his coming is like the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. The day of Jesus Christ was described. The kingdom of God was demanded. I'm hastening, I'm hurrying. I know that we've already had one mini message from our pastor. Look at verse 25 as we see the order of end times defined. Verse 25, the Bible says, "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." The order of end times was defined. There's an order for everything that God does. God is not the author of confusion. He has a plan. He has an order. And we're told that the first thing that has to happen is that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, had to become the Savior of the world. He had to pay for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When Jesus died on that cross, he died for Tom's sin. He died for Jim's sin. He died for my sin and your sin. He died for the sins of the whole world of all time. From time past, the first sacrifice that was offered, all the way through, looking forward to the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world upon the cross there at Calvary. And then as we look back to the cross of Calvary, we look back to the payment that was made for our sins. That had to take place. Now you see, the Pharisees, they wanted the kingdom right then. They wanted the Romans overthrown. They wanted all the promises of God in the Old Testament that would take place. And by the way, that is going to happen. The lion will lie down with the lamb. There will be peace on the earth. 1,000-year reign of Christ. And Satan is going to be imprisoned for that 1,000 years. What a wonderful time it's going to be. If you have ever wondered what it was like to be in the Garden of Eden, that'll be a good understanding of what it would be like. The curse will be lifted. What a wonderful time is going to be. But before any of that, sin had to be dealt with, and that's why Jesus came. And he presented himself as the Son of God. He presented himself as the King. He presented himself as the Messiah. But here's the thing. Before any of that could be fulfilled, our sin problem had to be dealt with. So there was an order. There's an order to it. And then we find that the next step is, before the second coming, before the end of the world, is that believers must be pulled out before judgment. Now, there are some people who are presenting some very, some untruths from the Word of God. They're trying to say that Christians are going to go through the tribulation period. You have to understand what the tribulation period is. I hear people say all the time, I was just asked about it on Thursday night, how is it that God could allow such wickedness and such terrible things and all the murders and the abortions and all the terrible things that are going on in our day and time, and how God can just let it go and turn a blind eye? My friend, he is not turning a blind eye. He is not letting it go. He is storing up his wrath. And my friend, that wrath for the sin of mankind is going to be poured out upon this world, just as it was in the days of Noah, and just as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, is going to be poured out upon this world. And the only thing that's staying that judgment are the Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When the United States of America is required to invade and to send in armed forces and to stop some tyrant or to stop some atrocities going on somewhere in the world, over history, the first thing that they had to do was to get all the American citizens out of harm's way. They evacuated the embassy. They got the ambassador out. They got all the Americans out of harm's way. Because when the broadsword of American military came in, it was going to be destructive. My friend, did you know that the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ? And before he sends this destruction and his angels upon this world that is described definitively in the book of Revelation, and all the things that are in store for this world. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, but I do believe that Satan and Hollywood is doing a much better job about preaching about the tribulation period than churches and preachers are. They're preparing people for all the things that are coming. And then they put their spin on the end of it. You know what their spin is? After all the terrible things, you know, don't worry, it'll be okay. We're going to fix it. And he's emphasizing that theme over and over and emphasizing that theme. And it all turns out pretty well at the end. And that will be the message of the Antichrist. But my friend, the way it's going to happen is not going to end that way. Because it's going to end with the Battle of Armageddon with Jesus Christ coming. The order of end times is defined here by our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that we are not appointed unto wrath. Why? Because our sins were paid for at the cross. Now tell me something. Why is it if Christians are going to go through the wrath of God, are going to go through the judgment of God upon this world, why is it that the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? Here's the danger of that theology. The danger is that if people are saying that when the rapture takes place, excuse me, that when the tribulation begins, that Christians are going to still be here and all that kind of thing, the danger is, that's a whole other message. I'm out of time. Yeah, maybe I can bring that tonight. I don't want to take time. I'll say this. There are people who are going to be left behind after the rapture. And there are going to be folks who were members of a church. And there's going to be folks who possibly occupy a pulpit in a church. And they're going to have to try to figure this out. And there are probably some well-meaning students of the Bible who kind of got swept up into something, and they're going to find, oh, wait, no. I know what it was. It was just a partial rapture. I know what it was. It's a pre-wrath rapture. I know what it was. It's a post-tribulation rapture. I understand. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. Then some guy comes along on the scene and says, by the way, bub, you're going to take a mark or you're not going to eat or buy or sell or nothing. And they're going to say, oh, wait, that doesn't sound good. And then they're going to see the things that are taking place. The Bible tells us that in that tribulation period, in that seven-year period, that if Jesus Christ did not come back, that all the population on the entire globe would be extinguished. All mankind would die if Jesus Christ did not come back. That's over 7 billion people. Earthquakes, wars, famine, pestilence, the undead. The undead? Read about it in the book of Revelation. You'll find that people will have some kind of dying experience, but they cannot die. What is it with people wondering about this thing about zombies? I just can't get into that at all. That's gross. It's gruesome. But somebody read about it in the Bible, and they began putting together TV shows and movies about it. Folks, it's going to happen. Terrible things. The kingdom of God was demanded. The day of Jesus Christ was described. The order of end times are defined. If you're not mad at me and turning me off at this point because of your theology, then let's go on. The warning to those was declared. The warning to those was declared. Here was the warning. We find here that conditions will resemble the conditions of Noah's day and the days of Lot. Extreme wickedness going on in both of those situations. Notice Lot. The Bible describes him as a preacher of righteousness. We don't find the same badge being worn by Lot. You might say that Noah represents the obedient believers. And you might say that Lot represents the backslidden believers. Now, did he deserve to be pulled out of Sodom? Well, by his lifestyle, probably not. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of Christians described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that are going to be in heaven by, as it were, the skin of their teeth, because in their life, in our life, we're not serving God. In our life that we could invest, we're not doing what we could do for God. We're a backslidden believer. Lot sat there in the gate of Sodom. He should not have been there. He understood and realized that the world around him has an impact. His family laughed at him when God sent those two angels into Sodom to get he and his family out. Jesus, as he said there in Noah, when they entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. In other words, it was business as usual. Extreme wickedness going on, and everyone tolerated it. Sound like America? Sound like our world today? In fact, I heard someone mention something about North Carolina today, this morning, going to North Carolina or something like that. Amen. I'll go to North Carolina. I'm glad there's some people standing up for righteousness and standing up for just what is nature taught. You know, this kind of thing of trying to. I don't want my little granddaughter going off to a restroom and having some man go in there. I don't want that. You know, mamas and daddies are going to have to make sure and take their kids to the restroom, it sounds like, from now on. Extreme wickedness taking place. And by the way, there's a first part of the tribulation period that is the judgment of God, that is the wrath of God. And there's a second part, the second 3.5 years, is referred to as the Great Tribulation. And some people think that, well, that's the... No. It's all God's wrath. It's all God's judgment. You might say, have you ever heard someone say this? You ain't seen nothing yet. The first 3.5 years are going to be terrible. But in the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, it's as if it's saying, you haven't seen anything yet. And what takes place there? The destruction, global destruction. The Bible says in verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So he pulled out Noah and his family. He pulled out Lot and his two daughters and his wife. And the same day he pulled out Lot, down came the fire and brimstone. I have some thoughts about that, how Jesus gave that to us. There's going to be some destruction that's going to take place that could come right on the heels of the rapture, to where that the rapture won't even make the back page of the newspaper. People have often thought, they wondered, how are you going to explain the rapture? Well, it appears that no one missed Lot, did they? No one missed him. The kingdom of God was demanded. The day of Jesus Christ was described. The order of end time was defined. Jesus had to pay for the sins of the whole world and pull believers out before judgment. And last, the warning to those remaining was declared. He said in verse 31, he said, "In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." God tells in this passage, and the Lord tells in Matthew 24, it tells Israel and those who remain in the tribulation period, and there will be people who get saved in the tribulation period. In fact, Israel as a nation, largely as a whole nation, are going to turn back to Jesus Christ halfway into the tribulation period. Going to turn and their eyes will be opened and they'll realize the Antichrist is not the Messiah. Jesus Christ is Lord, and they will permeate this world as evangelists, and they'll be persecuted and martyred like never before. There will be people saved during the tribulation period. But I have some very bad news for you. It probably won't be you. If you're seated here and you're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves you and that he's coming back for you, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that God will send strong delusion to those who are left behind, who have heard the truth, refused it, and said, "No, not for me. No, not now." God will give them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And you'll be doomed because you decided, "No, I don't want God's gift of salvation. I don't want Jesus Christ in my life. He might take something away from me that I want and I enjoy. I'm not going to do that." The warning to those remaining. He said in verse 31, basically he said this. He said, "Run for the hills. Run for the hills." You ever heard that? Ever heard that statement? He told them, he said, "Don't go pack up your stuff. When you see these things start to happen, you get out of the cities. You leave everything behind. You leave with a shirt on your back." He's telling Israel, this is your best hope. Find protection. Hide. Because the judgment of God and the wrath of Satan upon God's people is going to fall at this time. He said in verse 32, he said, "Run for the hills." And he said, verse 32, he said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. Now, in this passage, you know, it refers to, I believe it's Genesis chapter 19, and where the angels led him out and said, you know, go to the mountains and all that. Said, "Don't look back." The Bible says that Lot's wife turned and looked back at Sodom. Here's just some thoughts here. Nowhere prior to Lot coming to Sodom, nowhere do we find a reference to Lot's wife. Whenever he had the parting of the ways with Abraham, whenever Lot chose the valley and all that, he might have been married, but nothing is stated that he was. The first mention about his wife is here in Genesis chapter 19. Makes me wonder where he found his wife. Makes me wonder if perhaps he found the best possible woman he could find to marry, to be his wife, but perhaps as she adopted the God that Lot served and maybe followed along as Lot prayed to Jehovah God and all that kind of thing, but it was never real in her life. And although she came out of Sodom, Sodom never came out of her. So as she's leaving, she cast that longing look back home. "Oh, I wish I could go back." Boom! And she became a pillar of salt. You heard about the boy in Sunday school class? The teacher was telling this story and telling about Lot's wife, how that she turned around. And as she turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt. Little boy said, "Oh, that's nothing. My mommy was driving this past week. She turned around and turned into a telephone pole. Better keep her eyes forward. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And I challenge you. Maybe you're going through the motions. Maybe you are in a good family. Maybe you're in a family that understands that Jesus Christ is coming back, but when he comes, he's not coming for you. Taken or left? Look, please, at verse number 34 as we close this last thought. Verse 34 says, read these three words aloud with me. I tell you. Okay? Now, up until now, he is giving Old Testament truth. Up until now, he's expounding on what has already been revealed. Now, Jesus is telling them something. May I tell you that the Old Testament has no precursor about the rapture or the church of Jesus Christ or the age of grace or any of those kinds of things. The Old Testament looks from the Mount Calvary, looks to the second coming, and as you look from mountain to mountain, you don't see what's happening between the two mountains. And that's the time that we are in, right here, right now. And so to his disciples, he said, I'm going to tell you something that you don't know. And what does he say? Verse 34. In that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. If he was talking about the second coming, if he was talking about the time of the kingdom, how does that fit? And if he was talking about the second coming was prophesied. Why would he say, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Listen up. Because it's something new. It was some new truth. He said, run for the hills to Israel. He said, remember Lot's wife. And then he revealed the rapture. Just a little glimpse. Just a little glimpse. Now, he said, take it or left. Take it or left. Take it or left. Look at verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Now, the question that opened this dialogue was, when, Lord? When's the kingdom coming? Now the disciples say, where, Lord? What were they asking? Well, he said, one shall be taken and the other left. They're saying, taken where? What's going on? Like in Romans 14. Excuse me, John 14. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Where are you going? So they said, they're taken. Taken where? This is new truth. They don't know what's going on. They don't know about being taken in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and socially ever be with the Lord. They don't know anything about the judgment seat of Christ. They don't know anything about the marriage supper of the Lamb. They've never heard anything about that. So they're asking, taken? Taken where? Notice he did not answer that question. He punctuated his message. And if you don't put these together, it won't make sense. Look at verse 37, the last part of the verse. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. What is that meaning? Well, you see, they were concerned, the disciples were concerned about taken where. Jesus was concerned with those who were left. And he's saying, those that are left, if there's a body, if there's a human, there will be eagles, there will be vultures because of the devastation and the death. Worldwide, global destruction. Oh, that wouldn't happen. Ask Noah. Destruction from heaven. Oh, that's craziness. Ask Lot. God has a track record of keeping his word. And the pestilence and the earthquake and the wars and the meteor strike and all the things that are told and definitively, specifically given to us, he said it's going to be terrible. And he warned us. My question is, if the trumpet were to blow, as we heard the song earlier, would you be taken or would you be left? As I understand Scripture, and I am not God, God can do whatever He wants, but it appears pretty clear to me in the Word of God that those who have understood the gospel and pushed it aside and said, I don't need it, I don't want it, or not now, that those people will not have an opportunity to receive it again. But you do right now. You do right now. Albert Einstein, he was on a train. He was a genius, of course. He was on a train traveling. He was sitting there as the conductor came down the aisle. The conductor was punching everyone's ticket, making sure that they had paid. Traveling down, down the tracks. Came to Mr. Einstein. He said to him, ticket, please. And he starts checking his pockets, and I can't find it. I can't find it. And he was so distraught. And he said, he happened to look and take a second look at him, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. Mr. Einstein, that's totally fine. I know who you are. I know you would have paid your ticket. Don't worry. And he just went on. Well, that didn't stop him. Boy, he went through all of his baggage that he had with him, and he tried to find and checked all his pockets again. As the conductor was two or three rows back, he looked back, and Albert Einstein is on his hands and knees, and he's looking under the seats, and he's trying to find this ticket. The conductor says, Mr. Einstein, no, you understand, it's fine. I know who you are. It's okay. He looked up at him. He said, I know who I am too. I just want to know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? A dear grandmother and those precious three daughters at the corner of Grand Avenue and 44 on Tuesday at 12:30 in the afternoon. One of our dear ladies in our church was right near that area when that terrible accident took place. One of the dear ladies in our church, and I won't name her, but she had children of her own. And she and others had jumped out of their vehicles. That Grand Cherokee, that Jeep, had rolled. As it came to a stop, it burst into flames. They did everything they possibly could do to try to get as close as they could into there to try to free that dear lady and those three children. And I'm told that the screams and the cries as they were being burned haunt those who heard them and stood there helpless, wanting to set them free and could not get to them. That is but a glimpse of eternity without Jesus Christ. It's but a glimpse. Taken or left? My question can only be answered by you. If you don't have that settled and sealed in your heart, and you're sure that heaven's your home and Jesus is your Savior, and He's forgiven you of your sin, don't walk out these doors without settling that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you, in the stillness of this moment, just quietly, with no one looking, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, I trust that God would confirm in your heart, everything's okay. You see, you remember the day, you remember the time, you remember where you were, you remember asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Remember proclaiming Him as your Lord. You invited him into your life, and he forgave your sins and saved your soul. You might not be all that you should be for the Lord Jesus Christ at this very moment. But one thing had better be for sure, that because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, that heaven is your home and your sins are paid for. If you can't say that, then why not take this moment? If God is knocking on your heart's door, he's saying, please, take this invitation. I offer you salvation. Forgiveness is yours if you'll take it. You say, well, what do I do? Why don't you do what I would lead you to do if I was sitting in your home? Would you pray this prayer? Just whisper it softly to the Lord. He will hear your prayer, but more than that, he'll see your heart. Would you whisper something like this to the Lord Jesus? Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. And sinners don't deserve to go to heaven. But I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again to prove that you're the Son of God. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Right now I'm trusting you to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. My faith is in you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. It would be the greatest thing in all the world if there would be someone who would say, Brother Mark, as best I know how, I prayed that and I meant it before God. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Do you think he did it? Absolutely. Absolutely. He keeps his word. Can I rejoice with you? I won't point you out. I won't come to you. But with no one else looking around, how many would say, is there someone who would say, Brother Mark, I did that. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I wanted to make sure and settle it. God was dealing with my heart. I took him at his word. Would you slip your hand up and take it down? Yes. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you back there. I won't embarrass you. Hey, we're rejoicing with you. Anyone else to say, Brother Mark, as best to know how, I made sure this morning. Well, praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who settled their eternal destiny, settled their home in heaven, based upon your faith, your promises. And Lord, I ask you now that you would help them to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. Help them to walk with you and live for you. Lord, help us to be a blessing to them as a church. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to sing a song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. When we stand and sing, there might be some that you have a burden for someone that their face was in your mind's eye. And you saw them in the flames of hell, and you're praying for them to be saved. If God moved upon your heart to pray for them, you might want to just come up front and just kneel and call their name out before the Lord. Once again, asking for his grace and asking for his mercy upon their life so that they'll be saved before it's too late. There are others, perhaps, that need to find a church home to get busy working for God. I invite you to come if God has dealt with your heart to say, this is your home. We'd love to have you as a part here. There are some who raised their hand and said, I settled this here this morning. We'd love to rejoice with you. Coming forward won't make you saved, any more saved than you are right now. But it will kind of seal it as a memory in your heart and life. It will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that when we stand, that if you raised your hand a moment ago, would you be so kind just to slip down here and take you by the hand and to thank God that he saved you today and settled it. If God's dealt with your heart about anything in particular, you all just come. as we stand to our feet, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Sing it now. Have thine own. Is someone on your heart? Someone you're praying for? You want to lift up their name? I invite you to come. If you ask Jesus Christ to save you this morning and settled that today, I invite you to come. Meet me down front. Make an eternal memory. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. While these are here praying, there's time for you. Would you come? Sing the second verse. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. If we ever cease to have a burden for the lost, we've outlived our usefulness to God. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as they continue to play. Folks are still here, still praying. I don't want to rush what God's doing. I hope you let God have his way in your heart and your life. If he can't have his way in church, he's not going to have his way in the world. Not in our life, anyway. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have told us what is coming and what you have in store. And Lord, you've told us that you're going to protect your people, that you took the payment, you took the judgment of our sin upon your shoulders, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Help us to live for you. I pray that you bring us back together again tonight. Lord, bless Brother Aaron as he preaches. Use him mightily to speak to our hearts from your precious word. Lord, we love you. Thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you tonight, God willing. 4:30 choir and orchestra, 6 o'clock church service. Hey, Robert.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
In the next couple of years, are y'all going to switch to a digital board?
If we have enough money, I would do it today.
Because I have...
I have... Hold that thought. Jesus Christ wants to be Lord of all. And it starts with us in our heart and our life. Someone said this, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. I trust that you'll pray for us here at VCBC. And if you would, try to tune in again tonight, 6 o'clock. Brother Aaron Reynolds is preaching. and be great music. We look forward to God's blessing. Thank you so much. Until next time, God bless you.